Welcome to the Great Awakening Show. I am Joanne, Divine Life Yogini, and on this week's show, we have Frank Jacom. Frank is an international award-winning filmmaker, presenter, visual artist, musician, and influencer. Having teamed up with the US motion picture production company Screen Addiction, his recent films explore the frontiers of consciousness, raising subjects in the films Solar Re-Evolution, The Klaus Donner Chronicles, and Packing for Mars. In 2019, Frank directed and co-produced the series Timeless, a first of its kind German format exploring the world of the paranormal for US online network Gaia. In 2022, Frank broke a story about a mysterious group called the Guardians of Project Looking Glass, who claim to help humanity avert upcoming disasters. This time technology makes it possible to peer into timelines, future probabilities, and more, and appears to be used by rogue elements in government as well as the elite to bring about a technocratic dictatorship. Frank followed up with A Tale of Two Timelines, a webinar that dives deep into the history and main protagonists of that story, which connects consciousness, ETs, CERN, AI, time travel, interdimensional messages, the meaning of timelines, and an upcoming cosmic event with the power to propel mankind into a quantum evolutionary leap, long predicted by indigenous peoples all around the world. As a presenter, Frank's multimedia presentations take his audiences deep down the rabbit hole into hidden history, transhumanism, artificial intelligence, secret technology, human evolution, timelines, and more.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Thank you for being on the Great Awakening Show.
Well, it's my honor.
Yeah, it's going to be so good. There's so many questions I want to ask you, and just your wisdom and your knowledge. And, you know, I've been watching all of your videos, so, and your webinars, and they're just fascinating, absolutely fascinating.
Well, that's great to hear.
Yeah, so good, so good. Okay, let's go to it. So, Frank, what does this great awakening that we are all going through, what does it mean to you? And please describe the connection between the solar activity and our creative, mental, spiritual abilities and awakening that is triggering that you portray in your amazing film, Solar Revolution.
Okay, that's a multi-layered question.
I know.
Well, I like to approach things from the perspective of timelines, because it, you know, has to do with us being in this physical reality, which some people call the matrix, or a matrix, which is actually just a word for reality of some kind. And we are, through our daily choices and through our level of consciousness, we are either deliberately or unconsciously affecting that timeline. And, or another big word is resonance. In other words, going into resonance with certain ideas, because everything is frequency. And when you realize that, and you realize that all of the things that you think and all of the things you say and do in the world have a corresponding frequency, then you begin to maybe pay attention to what kind of an ideology or what kind of a cause and effect that might create in that reality, and how it might shape your, not only your what happens to you, but your interaction with all of it. And so you become attuned more carefully or sensitively toward maybe thinking about where you got certain ideas and things like that. So the great awakening you're talking about to me just means more people, or leaving people just out of it. The idea that humanity as a whole, consciousness, the ideology, the genome of mankind, or man and womankind, is evolving and steadily growing. And the great awakening is basically the idea of breaking into a new timeline, an organic timeline, or let's say fulfilling the original plan, you might call it also, to bring us to a place where we're actually fully realizing all of the features and functionalities that we have built into our bodies and into our consciousness, and taking that to a level that it's never been before. Because we've had these cycles, and we can look at a single life as one cycle. If you want to look at the reincarnation concept, the cycling, reincarnating and doing another loop, or we can look at in terms of society, like there's rises and falls in the history going back thousands of years, cultures have risen and then collapsed again. Mm-hmm. And that has a direct correlation in respect to what you were mentioning with our film Solar Revolution, which is what we explored in that film, that has a direct relation to the cosmic solar cycle as well. Mm. So what it means is that our bodies and our existence in this bubble of Earth extends way beyond the Earth and goes right out into the cosmos and is connected to the sun and by extension to the whole galaxy. So this great awakening is taking place not just here locally on Earth. We're the microcosm. But as we're learning, everything with the microcosm is also connected to the macrocosm. So it's like a mutual evolutionary process that is taking place in the universe right now. Mm. Which I believe is trying to actually this time make something very unique happen. Mm. And, you know, so we could stop right there if you want.
That's great. And I mean, and it is, it's like the light coming in, all things are ascending, all planets, everything is ascending. So everything has to release those things that no longer serve them, like us on this planet. You know, I believe that every individual and as a collective, we're all going through a sort of like dark night of the soul, which we are learning to release that darkness within us so we can let in more of the light. And we raise our vibration, we become lighter. But also that is happening. All these cosmic events are causing the darkness in the world to be, you know, exposed, because we can't go on to this new timeline. We cannot go into this new Earth with all of these darkness and all these secrets and all of this, you know, evil and all these agendas, that because it's, you can't build on that. You've got to release it. You've got to expose it. And then you can start anew. You know, you can start building on this solid, beautiful, you know, foundation. And then, you know, in that ascension process, which is just
totally,
I mean, this is the greatest time to be alive, is it not?
Well, yeah, I would say that as well. I think it's an amazing time. And the people that are living on the planet right now, I believe, are lucky and have chosen to be here and have a special role in that process that we're talking about. The concept of the darkness, you know, and that having to kind of overcome it or eliminate it to move into a new timeline is an interesting concept too, because in a lot of ways, those dark forces, if you want to call them that, are there to actually push us to kind of to push our evolution and to push us to wake up. And I think if we reach a point where we don't look at them as separate from us, but rather as part of our evolutionary process, then there's a point I think everybody reaches where they become powerless in a way to affect you any longer. They don't affect your consciousness any longer. They don't send you into a dark spiral of, you know, negativity or whatever. If you actually look at them as being there to assist you, and you look them right in the face. And so I look at the dark sort of things that are out there more and more as being, they'll be like switched off. that just won't have any power any longer. It's like they can come along if they want, but I've seen them. I've recognized them. So they don't really have the influence anymore on me. And I think the more of us that disempower them, they just fall away. So I don't really look at it as a great battle so much anymore as I look at it as more as it's crumbling apart of an old structure, which is obsolete, which served us to this point. You know, we've made some great strides. Mankind is the experiment of mankind is seemingly very interesting and very unique. And obviously it must be something very special, especially if you want to believe in extraterrestrials and all these extraterrestrials that might be hanging around watching us. They seem to be very curious about what we are all about. And we seem to be very unique. Otherwise, you know, they would have shut us off a long time ago if they could. But, you know, as we see their historical their historical appearances, they've sort of popped their heads in, and we see them, or we see something that you could identify as an extraterrestrial element that is sort of lurking around for hundreds, maybe thousands or more, you know, hundreds of thousands of years that's been around. But if they were negative to switch us off, they could have done it a long time ago, because associated with extraterrestrial intelligence is also superior intelligence, superior technology, etc. So if that were the case, we'd already be shut off. So there must be something very, very unique about us.
Yes.
And I think the realization that we actually, with our consciousness, can enter into another level of existence. And there's even physics to support that, which is something that I got into in my new webinar, The Inner Looking Glass, where it talks about the electrons and the spin of the electron, because I was having a conversation with the biophysicist Dieter Burz about that. And he was talking about how you could, you know, that we know the magnetosphere of the Earth is diminishing and shrinking rapidly, has been for quite some time. And theoretically, it could reach a point where it's no longer shielding us from what's coming at us from the cosmos. And because our bodies are susceptible to cosmic radiation, like X-rays and gamma ray, I mean, they have an effect on us. They have an effect on the version of us that we exist in right now. But what would happen if we actually learned that we could create our own personal magnetosphere around us? In fact, our heart does that. It creates a shield around us up to 4 meters. And that this would become the new bubble that protects us, and we no longer needed the magnetosphere.
Yes.
Then it would mean we would have to enter into another kind of vibration, another vibratory spin, another valence of electron spin, if you want to call it that. So that would make us immune, because all those rays and particles that are now damaging to us are part of an older and obsolete Earth 0.1 frequency humankind. And that would suddenly become ineffectual, because it would only affect those that are still in that version and not in the new version.
Yes.
So there's a lot of interesting ideas that are coming to light right now that are, I think, that we need to be talking about. And even if they're very fresh and probably very foreign to a lot of people, I think when we start to embrace these ideas and talk about them openly, then we enhance or increase the probability of them actually integrating into our reality.
And it's really wonderful that you were saying about, you know, the darkness and you know, the heart having that protection, because, you know, as a Kundalini Kriya yoga, I bring up the Kundalini, you're into the third eye, which is like the antenna, and, you know, the protons of divine intelligence or God, goddess, the light, this is it. It's the light and the divine love light energy, I call it, you know, fills me up. I can't get anything from that 3D world. I have to go within to get that. But it's like when that happens, it activates the crown chakra, which is the halo, and it brings that toroidal field, that auric field of light over you, which is your armor of God, which is your armor of divine, if you want to call it. So that negativity repels. So, you know, it's like the darkness, you transmute it. And in that darkness is the seed, is the light, the golden light of enlightenment. You know, we have to go in it and we have to embrace it, because it's part of us. We come from the oneness, come down into duality to find that balance again, don't we? To find that, you know, and that's just that protection. It's like that heart, you know, it's that protection. It's just, and we are it. This is the biggest thing that the dark ones have taken us away from us, I believe, is our divinity. our divinity, our light, our love, the truth of who we are, the soul consciousness, which is in every single consciousness, in all souls. There's only one soul shared by every soul on this plane, this realm. And it's just, it's remarkable. And they've told us we are sinners. We are nothing. We are, you know, and I think that's been the worst thing that they have put on us. But this is the awakening, isn't it? And we're awakening right. to our potential.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
And also what you're saying there is really important, because they've got us looking on the outside. Yeah. Everything is stimulus for 3D out there, out in space, out and everywhere. And I just, you know, wanted to get into this because, you know, as a Kundalini yoga teacher, you know, I've been studying and meditating on the pineal for years, you know, and I believe that it is an antenna and a super conscious gateway to multidimensional realms. But I don't believe that they are out there. They are in here, because as we raise the Kundalini up, here is the temple. We light up the light of the world, the temple here. It becomes enlightened. The chakra starts spinning. The golden halo comes on. And the antenna picks up the protons, the divine, you know, multidimensional light, other realms, which takes you inwards. It's all in here. They get us to think that it's out there, you know, because if we started using this spectacular Kundalini and sacred pineal gland that we have, we would be super powerful, incredible, super conscious beings, which we are going to evolve into, you know, the light energy beings, because it activates the Merkaba, and we can fly and go to anywhere we wish with inner space. It's not outer space, is it? What does, well, you tell me, because I want to know all about how you see the pineal gland, the sacred pineal gland. And please give us your knowledge and your wisdom about what I've just said. Do you believe that is true about inner space?
Yeah. I mean, you're touching on stuff that I just, you know, I cover in this new webinar that I've come up with called that's why I called it the inner looking glass. Or actually that was the word my partner Tanya came up with. It's brilliant, because it was like, we've gotten into the looking glass in terms of looking outward, right? But we actually have this ability, this gateway, this stargate within our heads, which is like, you know, an Einstein-Rosen bridge, which connects us to hyperspace. And that makes us unique from all other creatures in the universe. I mean, there's other creatures that have pineal glands, but ours has a very unique function in that it opens us up to this other level of consciousness. In fact, as Dieter Burr says, no pineal gland, no awakening.
Yes.
So it's, you need it, you know, we need it. And it's been, and science looks at the pineal gland as being something which is atrophied, you know, it's bigger when you're a baby, and then it shrinks and atrophies, and it really doesn't serve any useful purpose other than secreting a couple of hormones to regulate your circadian rhythm. But the study of consciousness has resulted in the discovery of the pineal gland being that particular organ in our bodies, which is 100% linked to our consciousness. And, you know, even Manly P. Hall talks about that, and Descartes talked about how there had to be these controllers in our body, that like there's a small, tiny little part of our heart that is responsible for its function. And even though the heart is a giant organ by comparison, Descartes came up with the concept that it was these tiny little controllers that were responsible. And if you take that tiny controller out of the heart, it stops beating and we're dead. And he also basically came up with the understanding that within our brains, which is a large organ, there's a tiny little controller. in the middle of that, that doesn't have two halves. It's very unique from all the other aspects of our brain. It's the single controlling element. And he surmised that this must be the controlling point of our consciousness. So while that one controller in the heart is responsible for life, the other one was responsible for consciousness. And so, you know, you can't, it's like we were given this tool built into our biology by the creator. It's really quite genius because it allows us to not only regulate our body and, you know, deal with the circadian rhythm, but it also is able to synthesize and manufacture high potent psychotropic
DMT.
Chemicals. Like dimethyltryptamine,
and the pituitary secretes amrita, which yes. is and so you have the milk and the honey that come right. down. Pingala and Ida, you know, these are the
exactly secretes. And the pineal gland is responsible for imbuing that fluid with this consciousness factor, and it goes to every single cell in our bodies.
Exactly.
Right. So when they started to research consciousness, they quickly realized that the pineal gland is very, very important in that. And so the study of the pineal gland became classified material.
Because they don't want us to know. They don't want us to know.
Right. They don't want us to know. Absolutely not. And so when Dieter brought out one of his latest book was called Pineal Gland Classified. It was still in German called Verschlusssache Zirbeldrüse. And I was talking to him about it. I'm going like, why are you calling it pineal gland classified? And so he, at the end, you know, of the book, there's like a half the book almost is just studies he cited that were done, which are about consciousness, which have to do with the pineal gland. And they knew that. And they essentially everybody who came along, and he was part of a research team that was in the 80s was researching it. And whenever they kind of reached a certain level of understanding, they got visits from military people that were like, oh, that's interesting what you're doing here. That's cool. You know,
yeah, right.
But they weren't able to publish any of it and they weren't able to spread the information to anybody else. So he realized that there was really this conspiracy to denounce anybody who was making any claims about the pineal gland on the one hand, and to downplay its significance for anybody who decided to show an interest in studying the pineal gland as like, hey, don't waste your time. It's just an atrophied organ. It has no real functions, like the appendix, you know, of the intestines. It's just there. It's an old remnant of our evolutionary process. It doesn't have any significance. And when in fact, exactly that is the reason why it is so important. And so, you know, you had a lot of that going on to block this research, and it ties also into our DNA as well, because, you know, the DNA is the blueprint for how our bodies grow and our humanity evolves. And there's people out there right now that are working on altering our genome.
Yes.
And so you have to ask yourself, like, you know, why are they so busy and so excited and so in a rush to introduce elements into our genome that will alter it, because we already have things in our genome that are undiscovered. And most of the things in our genome that are leading to, you know, what they're trying to eradicate, diseases and things, they were brought on by usually industrial toxins, which were created by cabal members and, you know, years past to begin with. So if we actually eliminated all those toxic elements that are not just chemically based, but also the electrosmog, the types of frequencies that they expose us to around us that impair us as well. Alone just doing those two things would actually lead to a whole new era of enlightenment, especially if these cosmic energies are coming to stimulate us. And it seems very clear that they don't want that to happen. They don't want us to discover that, because this, you know, you were talking about, you know, the Kundalini yoga and stuff and doing exercises and things. But I also believe that, on the one hand, the exercises are great. But on the other hand, we have to realize that just the focus of us to realize what we have in our brain begins to change our relationship to it. It's like a muscle that we haven't used in a long time. Yeah. And it's not even as complicated as people would like to think to be able to tap into and to utilize, because it really is something which has a primary function with respect to our consciousness tapping into where we came from. But, you know, we know that the idea of where we came from itself is very controversial. And so they would, you know, would rather like us to think that we are all here, we're all affected, we're limited, we're affected by things from the outside, exactly like you were describing.
Exactly. And, you know, that's why, I mean, it's not really difficult, you know, to sitting and meditating, you know, close off the light and see the light of the pineal, and you will build it. You're building your temple, right? It gets bigger and more and more and more, you know. It takes time, but you are connecting, you're communing, you know, and then that light comes in and that heals your body. That's, you start to get divine intelligence. You know, you start to get ideas to go forward in your life and create wonderful things. This is how it works, you know, and that's why.
Exactly.
And that's the beginning of enlightenment, to be a creator, a creatrix. You know, we are built in the image of God, the creator, creatrix, God, goddess. So this is who we are. This is what we're merging into. But it's like, that's why they don't want us to know these deep secrets. You know, that's our super conscious potential. They can't have that at all. And that's why they want to change.
Yeah.
Isn't it? That's why they want to change us with vaccines. That's why they want to, it's all the toxic that you were saying. And isn't that the first stage of AI?
Well, yes. I mean, you know, I was just thinking as you were talking about how, maybe I should have mentioned this earlier, but it's really, it comes down to this showdown between pure materialism and pure spiritualism, in a way.
Yes.
Spiritualism being the complete evolution, or the evolutionary completion of what we came here to manifest in human form and to embody in the human form, versus materialism, which is all about limitation and control. And materialism also represents ego, and it also represents material wealth. And those who have built their lives and their empires here in terms of building the wealth, and have become accustomed to control of the rest of the planet through the control of the wealth and the flow of money, or the, you know, the stifling of the flow of money to certain people. And they of course don't want to see the end of that, because they're living in their golden age now.
Yes.
You know, the people that are using these technologies, the people that are, that have the advantage over the rest of us using technology, using finances, they're in their golden age. And the only thing that sort of spoils it for them is that there's so many of us, and that we might actually one day come to realize that, hey, you know, we don't have to sit down and take it. We can get up and rise up and become, you know, the creator beings that we were intended to be. This would be the end of their era, their golden age. So it's natural that they would do whatever they can to stop that. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's so many of us. This is the thing. I think that all that has happened, you know, the contrast has to come, the suffering through that contrast, through that suffering, it forces us to the precipice. It forces us to change. We have to. And it has to be so, you know, we're going to go for a lot more, you know, there's going to be a lot of darkness coming, but we have to go through it. And we can't just see it. We have to experience it. We have to feel it. We have to feel that darkness, because then we can make sure that it never happens again. Otherwise, in 50 years or 100 years, this is going to come back again, and just, it's going to happen all over again at this time, isn't it? So it really is a time for us to come together. And it really is, because it's awakening us. It's awakening us to the unity consciousness and love awareness, which is our true value as humanity, as mankind, realizing.
Right. And my light's kind of freaking out while you're talking. So seems to be a validation of what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's far more of us than there is of them. That's definitely the case, right? So, I mean, I'd be afraid too. If I was in that state of being, of consciousness, I'd be thinking, okay, well, last thing we want is them to wake up. I think Zbigniew Brzezinski was, you know, on record once saying, oh my God, you know, the biggest problem we have is that people all over the world will stop buying our story, and they're going to wake up and it's going to be the end, you know. So they know that this is inevitable. And this is why I think they're taking the steps that they're taking now to manifest things as quickly as possible. And it seems, you know, even though this is also a very dark way of looking at it, but it seems like depopulation of the planet is one of the agendas. Actually, it's not even a conspiracy. You can find in their writings and in their white papers on their website, you know, frank discussions about how to go about depopulating the planet. So this is no secret that they want to do that under the spirit of, hey, the planet is dying. We have to green the planet and all this stuff. And of course, you know, when you're, you know, before you really wake up, it sounds good, right? Yeah, of course, we want to save the planet. We want to make sure the planet is great and all this stuff. But the problem is that the people that are telling us we need to save the planet are the ones whose industry destroyed the planet in the first place. And we're not talking about...
They blame it on us.
They're blaming it on us as being carbon sinners. And although carbon is one of the four building blocks of life itself, they're not talking about the toxicity of the chemicals that they released into the environment that are the problem. And they're not telling us about probably the most important part of it, is that we no longer need even to use fossil fuels or nuclear or anything, because there's other forms of energy out there. We just have not been able to put them into the public. They've been stifled. They've been blocked. There's healing technologies that have been blocked deliberately. This is all on the record. You know, it's all provable. Yeah. I mean, I did a bunch of shows with John Nolan and Inspired, where we just came out and we talked about these modalities, these healing modalities that were crushed, and these, you know, energy modalities that were crushed. Yes. And there's people and names and places. It's not just a conspiracy. It's clear. Those are, them. I mean, they've it is them. A conspiracy, they've but it's not off. A theory, you know?
Yeah. And they've killed them off, haven't they? Anyone who comes out with these wonderful inventions, whatever, you know, gravitational, electromagnetic energy, you know, all of this, you know, all these beautiful ways to run cars on water, they get killed off.
It's like, right, exactly. And everyone's instead pushing electric cars, and they're thinking, oh, that's going to save it. But I mean, somewhere the electricity's got to come from somewhere. So that's the part that people tend to forget. It's like, oh, well, where does it come from? Right. So, you know, even hydrogen, it's like there's better solutions, you know, because the energy to produce the hydrogen is tremendous. Right. So there are better solutions out there. They've been found. They just found it's not safe. And one of the things that I think we need to do in the world is to make it safe for those inventors to come forward and explore. I mean, if I was in charge of if I was the head of a country, like I live in Germany, you know, if I was the head of the German government, one of the first things I would do is put together a fund of, I don't know, some little amount, maybe 10 billion, which is probably about 1/10 of the budget of, you know, for public works or something. And I would put together a fund to pull the 10 most promising free energy devices, inventors forward, and give them everything they need and remove the blocks out of the way to develop that technology. Because, hey, if it really is CO2 and it's all about carbon and the solutions, I mean, come on. Like it doesn't take an intelligent person, a highly intelligent person, to see that these technologies have existed out there, that the inventors have almost made it with them, have been cut short. So why not let them finish the process? And I guarantee you, within 5 to 10 years, we would have that free energy device.
Exactly.
That would save the planet if they really wanted to, right? So that should be pretty much to anybody who's still skeptical that, you know, that there is this group of people that are, you know, they're either like, well, fill in the blank.
They don't want that. You know, Tesla, free energy from the ether. You know, we could all, if we'd have gone with Tesla instead of going with Einstein, we would, in electricity, we would have magnetic energy, or it would all be free. And it's like, unbelievable. They don't want to do that. They want us to pay for it, right? To pay over and over and over again for our energy and our water. And it's just, you know, we are women and men of the earth. We shouldn't have to pay to live on this planet. You know, it's free. Resources are free. You know, but that's where they're coming. I believe that this is not one of their mass quick awakenings. It's going to take many, many years. And as we turn around and don't be involved in their systems so much anymore, we can build the new systems, and they will just eventually collapse. They will eventually collapse and go out because they don't have the people to build them up anymore, you know. And then, you know, more and more we will come back. We will have the technology, but we'll come back into nature. We'll come back to Mother Earth, and we'll use her. We'll be in, you know, in alignment with the nature and with technology. But I believe that there's such high tech that they have kept from us as well, which is going to come out. It's going to be, wow, incredible. So for our audience, for this last little bit, It's been so fascinating, Frank. Thank you. Can you just give our audience, you know, give us some guidance on raising our vibration, you know, at this challenging yet enlightening time on earth that we're all going through, you know, just something that we can do, some few things on raising and helping, you know, us when the darkness sometimes takes us over, you know? Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, one of the first things that people can do is to look at their diets, you know, and what they're eating and what they're taking into their bodies, because you can do a lot of cleansing. For example, we're talking about the pineal gland here. The pineal gland is something which has been downplayed on the one hand, that it's not something they want us to focus on because it's tied into our raising our consciousness and tapping into hyperspace, literally. But there's actually, you know, they've polluted it with things that are blocking its function. So I think it's important for everybody to begin to practice a more disciplined form of consumption in terms of what they, and not just, you know, what they're spending money on out there, like thinking about, okay, do I need that? But I think most importantly, what are they consuming in their bodies? Like, what kind of food are you eating? Because those foods, if they're highly processed, they're going to be containing the frequency of the cabal, literally. Yes. The darkness is in the food, in terms of the colorings and the preservatives and the flavor enhancers and all these things. So it's really important. It was in my life a kind of a critical pivotal point where I began to look at my diet, and I began to, I mean, I took it to some extreme. I actually ended up working with Ann Wigmore in Boston. She was, who's the inventor of living foods lifestyle and wheatgrass juicing and sprouting and all these things. So, you know, I went deep into that and learned that you can clean your body out using foods. Yeah. You can actually eliminate things. You don't have to do any radical chemicals. You can just start to eat very powerful, potent foods. Yes. And that will slowly, that's a more gentle process of cleansing. You don't, you know, end up in a situation where you feel like crap, absolutely, because you're putting so many, you know, detoxification chemicals into your body, which are not natural, that you feel horrible. You can actually do it gently through a natural process. So looking at your diet and maybe getting into things that are cleansing and pull metals out of your system, like spirulinas or chlorellas or super blue green algaes and things like that. They're good to have in your diet because they, and wheatgrass juice, for example, freshly pressed, very powerful stuff. The proof of it is that if you try to drink, you know, just if you were to drink in a whole glass of that, you know, repeatedly for every day of the week, at the end of the week, you would really be feeling nauseous because it pulls so many things out of your system. So it's better to drink, you know, mild quantities of it. But anyway, that's dietary.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, the other thing is to avoid foods that have fluorides and, you know, that's anything from
the
salt.
Calcify your pineal gland. That's
because
what
fluoride has been one of the prime pollutants in terms of calcification of the pineal gland. So, you know, pay attention to things like, you know, that have fluorides. I mean, people don't realize that fluorides are in so many things, even salt, like it's fluoridated salt, right? Oh, so if you eat out a lot, do you know that the guy who's cooking the food in the restaurant that you eat out at all the time is using fluoridated salt or not? Because if it is, then you're ingesting fluoride through the food. It might taste amazing, but it's killing you, or it's blocking you inside. So pay attention to things like, you know, table salt, if it's got fluoride, you know, if your tap water has fluoride in it, you know, or if your toothpaste has fluoride in it. Get away from those things. And same with things like, you know, aluminum pots or cups and dishes and all those things, the packaging, you know, things that are in stores, packaging or artificial packaging. Do a cleanse, you know, do a fast if you want. Under the guidance of somebody who's either a doctor or knows what they're doing so that you can bounce things off of you. Off of them while you're doing the cleanse, because you're going to go through cleansing reactions. You're going to be, and these could be mental things that come up because you've got memories stored. We have something called cellular memory. And that means that when we go through traumas, they end up in our cells. We pack them away. And as a protective mechanism, we stick them into fatty deposits in our body. And when we're cleansing, excuse me, we're actually going to start dissolving those and expelling them, but they come up and they will be attached to memories and traumas. So you can be expecting to go through some of that. So you need someone that can help you go through that process and bounce ideas off and help you work that out, not just flushing it from your body physically, but flushing it out of your mind and your own personal magnetosphere out of your body as well. So,
So, do you know, so the other thing is when I fast, I get really terrible headaches and I'm physically sick. It's like a purge. It's purge, purging.
Exactly.
Always. And it's so
normal.
Important. Yeah. But it's so important, as you said, to eat not the food that they sell in the supermarket. That's dead food. You've got to eat live food that's got the chlorophyll, that's got the pranic energy in it, life force energy. Eat the prana. We need that inside of our bodies. You know, we are alive. We eat live foods. So important.
Yeah, they're very important, you know. And the other, and then what happens is, speaking of emotions, is that part of it is part of your process of awakening is to overcome emotional states like anxiety and guilt and anger and all these things. And because they keep you down in a negative vibration. I mean, states of anxiety will actually raise your brainwave frequency to get outside of the frequencies which are conducive to connecting with your pineal gland, which primarily is the 8 hertz frequency. That's a very special frequency. I go into it in quite some depth in the Inner Looking Glass webinar, just why 8 hertz is such a powerful frequency and why we need to lock into that as much as we can, because it's sort of between consciousness. It's between sleep and waking state. So it's that state where you have kind of lucid visions. You see things for what they really are. It's very, very unique. And if you're in anxiety or in fear and all and anger and stuff, you'll get into a fight and flight mode. So your brain is all active and your frequencies increase. So because you're trying to escape, you know, the dinosaur or whatever coming after you. Right. So, so learn to just kind of overcome those. When you feel them coming, look at them more as, okay, here's that wave again. So like, I'll just step aside. Or, you know, just observe it. And that's sort of also part of something that I call like a mental hygiene. You know, when you observe, you start observing those states, not just mental, not just emotional, I mean, but also the mental states. You start observing things very carefully, like to ask yourself, you know, I used to think this and, you know, whatever it is, something that maybe blocks you, or something that makes you judge something or have a very finite perspective on conspiracies, for example. Well, think about, where did that come from? Where did that thought originate? Was that an original thought, or did I just pick that up from someone who passed it along to me, who probably also just picked it up from someone and passed it along? So in the end, if you follow a lot of these thinking patterns that you have, you realize that most of them aren't even you, and most of them don't belong to where you want to go. And, you know, the goal is you want to find who you really are and rediscover your creative abilities and the fact that you're a creator being. And we want to be anchoring in the frequency of this new timeline that has been predicted to happen. It's the one that the universe wants to land on, because again, we are a microcosm and the universe is a macrocosm, but we're connected. We're connected to them simultaneously. So when you start cleaning up these thinking patterns and these things, erroneous ideas and the emotions that you're overcome by, and you start to realize that you can actually control them. I mean, you're never going to control all of them. And it's important never to feel guilty because you're not able to get there right away. It's normal. It's absolutely normal to have these states. It's absolutely normal to, I get angry all the time still, you know, it's just the only difference is the more awake you get, the quicker you get back to your equilibrium.
Exactly. The quicker back into balance.
I went through that again. It was another reminder. It was just there to test my ego. See how much I still have of that negative. I mean, the ego is yours. It's just helping you to navigate the world out there. It's kind of your shield, but it shouldn't be all you are. And so, you know, you begin to put it in its place and put yourself in a more predominant space. And even the idea of to think about, who am I really? Right. And why am I here now? And what is the potential for me to do something? I mean, the potential for us to participate in the creating of this new universe has never been better.
Yes.
Okay. We have all the aspects of qualities that could affect our consciousness have never been and more favorable than they are now. And, you know, one of the things that Dieter Burz was and I were talking about is how, like, yeah, there's a lot of these things happening. Like, we're getting this increased radiation and gamma rays and energy from the center of our galaxy.
Yeah.
In and of itself, it's an interesting anomaly, but put together with all the other things that are going on right now,
it's
simultaneously, it's no longer an anomaly, an interesting phenomena. It's actually, you know, an orchestration of some kind. It's like all these strings are being pulled, which are which just happen to be optimal for pushing our evolution as human beings.
Yes. And for us to live our best possible timeline, the paradise timeline. I call it the paradise timeline, you know, that's what it is. You know, the best possible future outcome for humanity. And the more we awaken ourselves, earth peace through self peace, the more we do that, the more, you know, every light starts shining. And then, you know, we can all raise up and we can all create that together, create the world timeline.
Right. That's what I was saying, like with the frequency anchors, we're all frequency anchors. And it sounds like almost impossible, but it's actually so simple. If you begin to shake off these patterns and you begin to think, who am I? And you begin to visualize, because another organ that works in tandem with the pineal gland is the hippocampus. And that's the organ of our brain responsible for long-term memories and pictures, putting things to pictures. So it's about visualization. So if you, without a hippocampus, you might be able to live and do things and seem normal, but you'll never be able to create. You'll never be able to visualize. And creation has to do with having vision.
Yes.
So once you've kind of begun cleansing the stuff out of your system, you'll eventually realize, okay, well, what do I, you know, this natural organic timeline, that this ideal, as you call it, paradise timeline, what does that look like? And just having glimpses and flashes of what that looks like will immediately begin to do what I'm talking about, anchoring in that frequency, because those flashes of ideas and visions are usually accompanied with joy and, you know, and love for others, you know, that are waking up, and compassion. And another big one is empathy, right? Empathy is something that is more, you know, there's these diametrically opposed things happening in the universe right now, where there's these rising of narcissists versus a rise of empathy. Yeah. Empathy being, you know, if you step into your empathy, you're feeling more. You're feeling your fellow beings more. You're resonating more with them. So that's another big part of it. And so the more of us begin having these ideas and seeing these flashes and feeling these powerful feelings of empathy and joy and love for the greater, not the kind of love like, you know, oh, I love chocolate chip cookies, but, you know, that's one form of love. But this greater love, right? Mm-hmm. Light oscillating vibrational energy, if you want to call it. But just, you know, this idea of that there's something better in store for us. We don't have to settle for the materialist version, the transhumanist version. I guess we haven't talked about that too much, but transhumanism is this idea that people are putting out there that they can make a better human than the human that was made by the creator. And they're pushing that to happen. And so we need to get away from that timeline and create this natural organic timeline. And so that requires us having to do this work. And that work is simply cleaning up our mental garbage, all these programming.
So that we can be a channel. You know,
and then we open that channel, and that's where the pineal gland is so important, because without that, like I said earlier, without that, there is no awakening.
Yes.
And that's what's unique about it. And it'll become activated just because we'll be thinking about it. We'll be cleaning up our diets, you know, and also maybe stay away from Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi is probably going to be one of the most dangerous things. I think more people talk about 5G. But 5G, as bad as it is, and it isn't good by any means, is still not as widespread as they want it to be.
Yes.
Because it's not able to get through glass. It can't get through wood, you know, so it's got limitations. So Wi-Fi 5G sounds dangerous, is dangerous, but it's nowhere near as dangerous as Wi-Fi. Why? Well, because what do we all have? We all have Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi is everywhere.
Yes.
It's like everywhere.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are now patents out there that they can actually see you moving around the house.
Yes.
Because you have a certain router. The telecom companies can actually using your Wi-Fi router They can watch you moving around the house.
It's terrible.
To within a square centimeter.
Yes.
Okay. This is fact. Okay. So they know that, I mean, Wi-Fi, they've got it everywhere. So I would say Wi-Fi is the sleeper. It's the one that's the most dangerous. So rewire.
Yeah.
Do as little Wi-Fi as you have to.
Go into nature and ground. Get the electric.
Yeah, or wire your stuff with Ethernet cables, right? I mean, just use Ethernet cable. Cable everything, right? Yeah, cable as much as you can. You don't have to be an extremist. You don't have to go paranoid.
That's brilliant.
All these things, do them in balance. Just minimize your exposure. Cut down on the Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
You know, I've got a little bit of Wi-Fi going in my place, but most of it's been cabled.
Yeah,
and
right.
The most powerful source of the Wi-Fi is certainly not what I'm using anyway. So, but yeah, absolutely. That's another thing we should all do. Go into nature, go out into the woods, you know, feel the nature spirits, because it's very, very powerful, a way to connect with the original creation, because that's one of the few places you can still feel that original energy.
Yes.
It's still there.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, you know, read good books also, you know, maybe before you go to sleep, have some visions and ask your higher self to give you an important message so that you'll remember when you wake up, so that you can use that message to guide you moving forward in your life.
Yeah.
Those are just a couple of things.
Oh, Frank, it's just thank you. Thank you. Thank you for all of your wise wisdom and your, you know, your future. You know, your futurism, the way that you see things is just wonderful. And you teach everyone. And, you know, you give us the dark side, but you give us the light side, which is very important. You know, we have to be aware of everything, you know, that both sides. So I just want to say, Frank, thank you so much for being on the Great Awakening Show.
Thanks for having me, Joanne.
Wonderful.